called In the Beginning.
And we've been talking about like all the beginning stuff, Genesis and creation and planets and stars and stuff like that. It's been pretty cool. I've had a good time. If you haven't, I'm sorry, but I've been enjoying myself. So we're going to do Q&A tonight. I have some special guests I'm going to invite up in a couple seconds. So we're going to give you guys paper and pencils and stuff like that. You can either doodle on it, which would be cute, or you can like write a question, which would be better. And we're going to field your guys' questions the best we know how, out of the Word, out of our experiences, and out of just, you know, what God has shared with us, that kind of stuff about this topic and the subject. And that will be okay. Oh, additionally, if you guys are like, if you guys have like your phone and stuff like that, and maybe you want to send an anonymous question or whatever, we also have our Google Voice number that'll be coming up. And we have the Googles, and you can ask us through that as well. And please be aware that standard texting fees do apply. So if you need to make a call to your provider right now, call AT&T and let them know what's up. Tell them that they need to work on their service. And send us a question about that. So, and we'll be good. Okay. Who was here last week? Who was here the week before last week? Who was not? Oh, look at you, all you people. All right, let's do this. Let me do this. I'm gonna do like a 2-minute recap of the past couple weeks, okay? Now, before we do that, you guys can do one of two things. You can turn to Proverbs 25, and if you didn't bring your Bible, no, steal the person next to you, Bible. And we'll pray. So that'll be your chance to steal it when our eyes are closed, okay? So, Father God, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, for all your goodness. God, we ask that you bless this time that we're in your Word as we search for your answers. And God, we ask, Lord, that you would do what only you can do in our lives. So speak to us as only you can, that you change us from the inside to the outside. In Jesus' name we pray. We all say amen. All right, the Bible says this. Real quick, one verse says, it is the glory of God to conceal things. Go figure, right? I mean, it just turns out that God takes the most precious things in the entire world and he hides them under tons of rocks, right? That's where you'll find diamonds. That's where you'll find gold, silver, precious metals. That's where, if you've ever wondered why it's so hard to find a good man, that's because God's hidden them from you. Mm-hmm. Now watch it now. But the Bible continues and says this. It says, it is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. God has made us curious. And that's where creation comes in. See, I wasn't there when it happened. I'm not that old. But God was. And, you know, we have this idea that science and faith are somehow their enemies, right? Like science proves God isn't real, and then God tries to say science is stupid. But the truth of the matter is that's not the way it works. You know, truth, ultimate truth, is a coin with two sides at it. On the head side, you have faith. It's what the Word says. It's what we believe. It's Jesus Christ and everything he's spoken to us. And on the other side of that coin is science, is nature. You know, the Bible says that, look, if you won't praise God, then the rocks will. So that means that God's own creation talks about who God is. So if you only focus on one side of the coin, then you only get half the story. A person that only focuses on the Word and ignores what the world, the creation speaks to us, they get half the story. And I know that's kind of weird to hear, but it's true. But a person, maybe like a scientist or a person that doesn't believe in God, they only look to science and nature and the stars to tell them about God. Well, they're stuck too because they only have half the story. They leave God out of it. And it's impossible to know everything you need to know without looking at both sides of the coin. So today, that's what we want to do. You know, today we've gathered in church this past couple weeks, and we're here to find out what God says about this thing called creation. We're here to try to put into your minds and even to remind me about how God and science, they're not enemies, they are friends. And if you've ever been told otherwise by a physics or a biology teacher or by, you know, this person and Professor X or whoever it is, hey. Well, that'd be kind of cool, but it's not true. Because science and God walk hand in hand. Because first and foremost, God created it. So he certainly wouldn't make something that would try to prove him otherwise. So a wise person that's knowledgeable will see that everything in creation will point to a loving creator. Hey, let's do this. Let me go ahead and invite my friends up here real quick. I have my three guests here. I have Lucas, the Reverend Teresa, and none other than PJ Primetime, Pastor Joseph himself. Bring it. Get up my stools. Oh, they're up here. Yeah. Ooh. You know what? Go ahead, bring them down here to the floor. Let's get close and personal with these guys. I know, I'm sorry to make you guys, I know you're my guests, but I'm going to make you guys do some work. Let's get down here and then grab a microphone. Your guys' mics are right over there on the stage. Yeah. Mr. Sutter, grab those mics and we're good to go. If you don't know these people, you're going to know them. Excuse me, Pastor Joseph. I know we're doing Twister right here. We're going to know them real quick. I know you know Pastor Joseph. Pastor Joseph, introduce yourself, sir. Oh, he's getting there. They're being polite to each other. Oh, let me go ahead and run it down. Pastor Joseph, he's one of our pastors here. Of course, you know him. You love him. He's really good. He's crazy. He's wild. Mornings, evenings, young adults. Reverend Teresa is one of the smartest people I know. It is true. It is true. And I know a lot of people. So she's one of the smartest people I know. She has an amazing story. She's Fontana High, right?
Fontana High.
AP Chemistry, right?
AP Chemistry lab this year, but I have taught AP Chemistry. I teach CP Chemistry most of the day.
Wow, look at that. Very good. And then Mr. Sutter here, Mr. Lucas Sutter. Not only does he have amazing skills on the drums, but he's one of our instructors and teachers here at the church. He has an amazing story. Lucas has traveled the world playing baseball. I love it. And he is looked up to and admired by all of our drummers here at the church, including Guppy in the back. Lucas, you want to give us a quick bio on you real quick? Quick bio.
Oh, sure, real quick. I've been a member of the Rock Church since I was your age, since the summer before eighth grade, so I've been here for a long time. Born right down the street in Loma Linda. You can see where I was born from the courtyard. I was raised in the church, in Christian schools and everything. I played baseball when I was young. I played music when I was older. And then I had to get a real job, and I became a teacher, and so now I teach sixth grade.
Nice. And then, Reverend Teresa, give us a quick bio on you. What is your quick bio? I know I just told them about Fontana High, but what do we need to know about you?
Let's see. I was a total mess until I was 16 and I met Jesus.
All right. Nice.
Then everything changed. I went to Chaffee. I went to Cal State San Bernardino. Went to Fontana High School, and now I teach there.
Hey.
I've been here at The Rock for 16 years. I get to teach in the Bible College, and been to seminary, got a couple of degrees. And,
just a couple.
Yeah.
Wow, very good. This is Reverend T. And then Pastor Joe, we already know you, but quick breakdown. Who is Pastor Joseph?
Check it. I ain't got no horror story. God kept me in my youth. I give him all the glory. Thought my story was the dope, but now I know the blood of the Lamb has saved my soul, and that's my testimony.
Okay, I'm done here. I got to work on mine.
Yeah, come on, Rev. You got to work this out a little bit better.
I didn't know we were rapping.
You need to learn how to rap. You need to talk to Dr. Kobernick. He raps too. So, anyway, hey, let's do this. I want to go ahead and start. I know I kind of prepped them. Questions are starting to come in really quick, so that's super cool. If you guys have a question, go ahead, put your hands up. All the ushers are going to get you the papers and pencils to write a question and submit it in if you don't want to use your text, if you don't have unlimited, whatever. But as that's coming in, Reverend Teresa, growing up, you mentioned that you'd been saved, you got saved, gave your heart to the Lord at 16. What was one of the greatest hurdles or doubts that you've had to face, whether it be pre-Christian or as a Christian in your life? And how did you overcome that doubt, that challenge?
You know what I remember? When I was a senior in high school, I had a Algebra 2 teacher who was an atheist. I mean, shout from the rooftop atheist. His back of his car, his little wagon, was completely covered in every atheistic bumper sticker you could imagine. So he became my Algebra 2 teacher. And I had just been saved about a year and a half. And at that time, I was carrying my Bible to school every day because I wanted everybody to know, right? That was my little sign. One day, I remember walking into class, and I wasn't, Bible in your face or anything like that. I just carried it as a symbol. And he told me, he said, come up here with that Bible. Yeah, so I was like, okay. So, I mean, I was like 17, right? And he opened my Bible in front of the whole class, and he read this. find it real quick. Genesis. So hard to find that book. All right, there we go. He said, how could this be that it wasn't until the fourth day, where is it in this Bible? Pastor Joseph can probably quote it. The light.
I can't find right Genesis here. Either.
You can't either, you see? Yeah, why does it not say that?
You have verse 14 through 18 here. That's the fourth day.
Here we go. Verse 14, sorry guys. Let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the night from the day, and let them be for signs and seasons, and let them be for light in the firmament of the heavens to give light to the earth, and it was so. He said, now you see how stupid this is? Because how could it possibly be that the plants were created way back here earlier on, but the light was created later? That's a dumb book. And he handed it back to me.
Wow. Ouch.
And I went, oh. You know, and at that moment, I thought, you know what? I don't know how to answer his question. It was a crisis for me because all of a sudden something that was so practical didn't seem to be proved by the Bible that I was carrying around. So all it did for me, I didn't question God. I just said, you know what? Someday I'm going to figure out why he's wrong. Someday, because I know this is true because I met God, but someday I'm going to have an answer for that question. So that became just a turning point, a crisis, a moment of almost embarrassment because the whole class and I had no answer and I just took my Bible and sat down. I'm like, wah. But that was an important moment.
Wow. That's heavy. That's really, really heavy. I wow. And you've reconciled that now.
I did. You see, in Revelation.
Ooh. Oh, the end of the book.
Chapter 22. It says something like this. In verse 5, there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor no light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I found out later that God is the source of light.
There you go.
And the sun isn't needed.
Ouch. Very good. Very
That's
good.
That's super cool. Preach it, sister.
Smack down. Hey, Mr. Sutter, could I ask you the same question?
Sure, absolutely. I am not going to come from the opposite direction of most people because I was raised in the church. Except for one semester of my freshman year of high school, I was in Christian schools my entire life. And so for me, I envision my belief system kind of like Legos. Are you familiar with Legos? Hmm. I know we're grown now, but we still know what Legos are, right? So when I was young, my parents were in the church, and so they started building this belief system for me because I was too young to do it for myself. And I'd ask them, hey, Mom, Dad, what's this, what's that, who is God? And they'd tell me about him. And so I started building this structure, getting bigger and bigger. And then I'd go to church because I was basically born in the church. I was born on a Friday, in church on a Sunday. And so I talked to the pastors, the Sunday school, my youth pastors, and they'd give me more Legos and help me build a bigger and bigger box. And I was in Christian schools, so my Algebra 2 teacher would tell me about Jesus. You know, I had the opposite issue. And so they gave me more Legos, and I'm getting this giant monstrosity of a belief system here. And it wasn't until I went to college, it was the first time I went to a non-Christian school, was in college, and all of a sudden I encountered all this information that I had never been given before. Stuff about science, stuff about religion, stuff about how people can look at different works of literature. And I didn't know how to make it fit into the structure that I had because it wasn't being done for me anymore. And so, I went to some people to try and help me out, and it didn't work out. I had, I went to a pastor and was asking this question, and his response to me was that if you believe that, if you think that way, there's no room for you in the church. And so that wasn't very helpful for me because I wasn't trying to leave the church. I was just trying how to make sense of stuff. And I figured out eventually that I had to, have a little baby kid tantrum and, knock the whole building down and start from scratch. But build it myself this time. And so take all the pieces down and say, what do I really, truly believe? Not because somebody else told me, but because I believe it. What have I tasted and seen personally? Do I believe that God is real? Okay, so let's start from there. And then what I had to do is I had to rebuild my entire belief system on my own. And not because somebody else had told me that this is true, but because I believe that it was true because I did the work for myself and was able to come up with this system. And so how I kind of sort of reconciled a lot of stuff at the end is through a couple of things. One, I had tremendous friends like Pastor Joey here who I could say all sorts of crazy stuff too. Like, what about this? I'm trying to make sense of this. And Pastor Joey could just be like, the word. And just like, you know, go straight to the scripture and help me out. I'm like, oh, awesome, great. And I don't always agree with him. You know, we don't always agree. But he's such an important person in my life because I know his relationship with God. I know he's a man who only wants to do the right thing. And so when he says something, it has weight for me. And I have, okay, let me evaluate that and compare that against what I'm thinking. So that was super, super helpful for me to have friends who would help me to build it. And then when I got married, I went on a cruise for a honeymoon, right? And so we had these very fancy dinners. And so they give us these big fancy dessert menus. And one of the nights they had creme brulee for dessert. And I was like, oh, outstanding. But they also had apple pie. And it was like the crumb-baked apple pie. It was so good. And so I'm sitting here like, which one do I choose? Which one do I choose? And I chose apple pie. And then the guy went to my wife and was like, what will you have? And she said, I'll have the apple pie and the creme brulee. And it was the power of and that I was like, wow, you mean I could have both? And it's just like Pastor Richard was saying, wait, so you mean I don't have to choose between my God and what science says? You mean that I don't have to choose between the Bible and between examining the creation left, you know, made for me by God? You mean that I can have both? And that idea of and, of my God and the knowledge of man, let's call it, what we've been able to figure out, you know, which is far from perfect, but it's worth something. I mean, it's our best effort we've made so far. And so that idea of saying, okay, let me, instead of choosing a side, instead of being, I root for this team, why don't I just root for the truth? And whatever falls on that team is what I'll believe. And so that's what helped me get there. The other thing is getting really comfortable with dealing with stuff that's not absolute, which is tough a lot, when, especially when you grow up in the church, because you're taught God is God, the Bible is Bible, and you just used to everything is, you know the answers to everything. And as you start to study science, you start to study the world, we don't know everything. You know, you're going to find this out. You're going to go to college, you're going to take the tough classes, and you're going to learn a ton, but you're going to figure out we don't know everything, but God does. And so the closer I can stick to God, the closer I can stick to what is real and what is true. And so I had built this thing back up for myself. And essentially what I had done is I had worked out my own salvation in a lot of fear and a lot of trembling. And I was asking God, why did I have to go through this process? Why did I have to build it for myself? And he was telling me, well, now that you've done this, you can help someone else do it. You can be, you know, you can help somebody else when they have questions. And that's why I'm so excited to be here with you.
Nice. Good answer, Mr. Sutter. I have a question for Miss T. That's what they called you. They called you Miss T. Did you ever get a chance to tell your teacher that that answer you had? Or did that answer come too late?
No, I did not get a chance. Oh, I didn't figure that out for years. I knew someday I'd figure it out.
Wow, and you just held on, huh?
Yeah.
Hey.
God always has the answer. You just got to, sometimes takes a while.
Nice, very nice.
To figure it.
I have a question here. My friend told me she doesn't believe in God, and she believes in evolution. But I told her, what if God created evolution? Now, she wants to know, or he wants to know, was my response valid? Am I thinking the right way about the question? Yeah, just jump in.
Cool.
Come on.
You know, I tell people when I get that question, I tell them there's two kinds of evolution. To one, I say yes. To the other, I say no. And I simplify it like this: macro and micro. Micro means something small. Macro means something large. God gave every type of creature, living creature, something called DNA, and it replicates according to itself, and it has an ability to modify itself according to the environment. And you can see that in nature. That's actually what Darwin saw in the finches, was small changes according to the atmosphere, according to the environment where those birds lived. Plants do that today. Animals do that today. Every single kind of species can modify itself over time, right? They can produce, they can take on characteristics that will help them to better adapt to their environment. But what we don't see is what's called macroevolution. We don't see a jump between one type of species, one type of kind, and another kind. We don't see apes and primates become humans, right? We don't see amphibians become reptiles. We don't see reptiles become mammals. That doesn't happen, but small changes do. So yes, there's lots of small changes. Nature evolves, you could use that word, to its environment in a small sense, micro, but not in the macro sense. You don't have to decide between whether nature has an ability to change and the existence of God, because God put the ability for things to change and modify to their environment inside of his creation.
Wow.
That's pretty heavy. While you're talking, I have a question that's kind of like a follow-up here. I think it maybe it will answer a specific question with micro, macro. It says, is it okay to think that we came from apes since God created everything? And I think that's kind of to your macro evolution. I think, with what Reverend Teresa is saying is, you see the small delineations, the small changes, but we don't see apes becoming people in the fossil record. You just don't see it. So, we have more in common with our DNA than bananas than we have in apes. And I don't think we came from bananas. So, it's bizarre. God created apes. God created people. But not
and
apes
you know,
to be people.
I want to address this because in a lot of biology classrooms, you're going to see that picture. How many of you seen the picture where the ape gets a little bit taller, a little bit taller, a little bit taller, looks like a human? It's got like, anybody seen that picture before? Yeah, right. Those two species in between the ape and the human have been so disproven. Okay, they do not exist, right? What they call the missing link or those forms of humanity that they thought, one actually is an ape species and one actually is a human being now, no more called Homo Neanderthal, right? Because that whole species doesn't even exist. So a lot of times what happens in science is we discover things in the scientific world, but it takes about 20 years to get to the classroom.
Wow.
So those pictures have probably been hanging there for 20 years. Textbooks are going to live in your classroom for about 10 years. So by the time what we're learning now in science, I mean, it's going to be your kids that are going to learn what we're learning now. And we learned a lot of things that pictures like that give a bad impression. They're not true, and most scientists don't believe that either.
That's amazing. That just blew my mind. Okay, I like this question. Anybody just jumping on this one? I like this question because it's like, this is real. How can the creation account actually help me with my walk in Christ today? Like, why the heck are we talking about this? Why does it matter? Pastor Joseph, do you have an answer? PJ?
First of all, you have to understand that all of God's word is God's word. And for me to say, like, oh, there's certain parts of God's word that just don't have any place in my life, I don't think that's what you're really trying to say, even though that's what you're saying. Does that make sense? And if I could be honest with you, when you go and read your Bible, have you ever tried to pray before you read it and ask God, God, give me understanding. God, help me see what you're saying to me today. Because I'll tell you what, all of God's word from the beginning to the end will speak to your life in incredible ways and in ways that you never thought, as well as I would even say that, sometimes we know that according to the word of God, we're supposed to live by faith. And if I could just be honest in front of everybody today and tell you that as a pastor, I don't understand everything that is written, but I still read it anyway, and I believe God that, hey, just like you said, God, I'm sowing your word in my heart, and it's going to come forth in my life and bear fruit, and I'm gonna be, overjoyed at what it does in my life. So to kind of give you an example, maybe to get more back to the point, even in this series, as I was hearing Pastor Richard talk the last couple of weeks, I went ahead and read over the creation account myself, and I had to stand back in awe of the fact that God spoke and things came into existence. And it spoke to me in regards to the power of God's word. And if I will let God's word, what he has to say about my life, if I'll let it play its role in my life, what sort of a power and effect can it have in me and through me? And I had to stand back in awe and just say, man, God, how much have I been giving, preference to your word? How much have I been valuing it? How much have I been applying it to my life? Because there's so much available to me that I probably have not been taking advantage of. And the Genesis account brought that to me.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, yeah. If anybody else wants to jump in, jump in.
Say something about that, too, because I think what creation does is it gives you value. You know, we live in an era where we want to steal the value of humanity. When you study in your biology class that we came from a primordial ooze, a bunch of, you know, a bunch of cells, and there's no meaning, it just randomly developed, all of a sudden you exist and you're just random. You have no sense of purpose. But the fact that God created man in his image and likeness, all of a sudden you have meaning, right? And not only did he create you in his likeness, he put himself inside of you. He also gave you authority on the earth to rule and to reign, to take dominion. So now your whole life has purpose. All of earth time has purpose for eternity. It actually places you in a very strong position to live a powerful life when you understand your beginnings.
Dang, I'll preach. That'll preach. One of the questions we got as well written in, what's our life worth if we die and the world doesn't care? And that's a real question. And I think the creation account, especially with Pastor Joseph with power of God and then Reverend Teresa talking, I think that it doesn't matter if the world doesn't care. The God who created the world cares. And that's what creation has to do. Any quick thoughts before we move on to the next question, Pastor Reverend Bishop Pope Sutter?
Well, just talking about why does creation matter, I think sometimes we study the Bible so much and we value it so much that sometimes we can get bogged down in minutiae, like the little things, and get stuck on stuff that maybe doesn't really matter in the big picture. One thing that I hear people having huge debates and arguments over is the creation order. The Bible itself isn't entirely consistent on the order in which things are created. Read Genesis 1. Animals come first, then man. Read Genesis 2. Man comes first, then animals. And so it's like, well, which was it? I love what Pastor Richard said in the first part. I don't care. It just doesn't matter, right? Here's what matters. What I take away from the story is that God created. And so to tie into the second question, it matters whether what my life matters not because of what anyone else, any other created thing, thinks of me, but because of what the Creator thinks of me.
That's good. I have
kids, right? They know I love them. My daughter knows that she walks on the moon for me. You know, she is just like the greatest thing in the world. And, you know, that's a gift that my parents gave me. I always knew that I was loved by them. And so maybe I wasn't always the coolest kid in the world. Maybe I, you know, there was kids who made fun of me or whatever. But I always knew that I could go home and somebody loved me and somebody gave me value. Some of you are lucky enough to have that for yourselves. You go home and there's somebody who loves you and there's someone who tells you your value. Some of you aren't as fortunate. But no matter what, you know that there's a God who says, I love you, you have value, your life matters to me because I made it. I meant for you to exist.
That's good. I love it.
Okay, I got a good one. If we found dinosaur bones, which we have, and if God didn't mention anything about dinosaurs in the Bible, are they real?
Oh.
That's your topic right there.
That's my topic. Is that my topic?
Yeah, you're the dinosaur guy.
You know what I noticed? Yeah, you're the Pastor Joe. I love it. You know what I noticed? Job. Yeah. Don't get me started on that. You could ask me about Job after service. We don't have time to talk about that.
The Leviathan and the Behemoth.
I'd love to talk to you about that, actually. Here's my statement on that. I've noticed that the Bible didn't mention Super Smash Brothers either. It didn't. But you guys were killing it today on Super Smash. Right? The Bible didn't mention, you know, the Bible didn't mention your updo that you wore to prom a couple weeks ago. But yet, lo and behold, you had it. Whether the Bible mentions dinosaurs or not doesn't matter. Because the Bible doesn't mention a lot of things, including about what I'm going to eat for breakfast tomorrow. So just because it's not in the Bible doesn't mean it's not real. The Bible's not this exhaustive dictionary that, okay, I'm going to find this in this. It doesn't matter. It just means that we discovered it, and God didn't think it was that important to our spiritual lives to know whether or not there was a Triceratops that was going to be in Jurassic World when it comes out. So I would say if you found the bones, they're real, especially because the Ankylosaurus was my favorite dinosaur as a child.
Yeah, I think that's a really important concept to understand that something can be true without being exhaustive, without being all-encompassing and complete. You can read the history of a war, and you can read the Revolutionary War, the American War for Independence, from the side of America, and it can all be true and great, but but not have the complete story, because maybe you need to read about what was like from the British point of view to get the complete story. So something can be true without being complete. The Bible can be true. The stuff in the Bible can be true without it including everything that exists ever in the scope of humanity.
Yeah. So if you find out there's something out there and it's not in the Bible, that's okay. So that's why it's like important. You have faith, you have the Bible, and then you have science. Dinosaurs. And with faith and science, you have the whole of truth. Right, Pastor Joe? We got to close down because you guys worshiped too hard today. We went a little long, and I love it. But, okay, closing comments. Closing comments from any of you guys. I have a ton of other questions we're going to talk about. They're giving me all caps texts now. So Kanye has spoken. Let's go ahead and do closing comments. We're gonna answer a lot more of these. I mean, like, who created God? What about other gods? Can evolution be real? This and that. Bacteria. We'll answer these questions next week. But real quick, you have 1 minute closing comments for today, Pastor Joseph, PJ Prime Time.
Dang, I have 1 minute?
1 minute.
All right.
Counting down.
So I kind of like that first question. What was that first question? Something about what was my crisis in life?
What is my purpose in life if the world...
What was my biggest crisis or obstacle in life?
45 seconds.
Lucas was my biggest obstacle in life. No, and I say that having fun because actually in certain ways he was. In this respect, when I was young... Look, let me say this to you. If you want God, if you want to find him, if you want him to reveal himself to you, God says if you'll seek him, you'll find him. And sometimes some of us just lack, I'm going to go after him and find him. And all of a sudden, and so when I was young, I was lucky enough that I met God and nobody could tell me otherwise that he wasn't real, that the word of God wasn't real. I had that hard stance. And so I grew up serving God all my life. Well, that was good and fine and dandy, and all through high school, people would ask me questions, and I would just kind of blow it off, whatever. Then I met somebody who was a Christian who had difficult questions, and I wanted, having the heart of a pastor, I wanted to help people, and my answers were not good enough for him. And I think this is good because it made me take some time to do further research to, sometimes I found I was wrong. Other times I was able to strengthen my belief and my argument. So that I could help people. And there's that one question that came afterwards, and I'll close with this. And they were saying, did I approach my friend the right way? And I would just simply say to those of you who have friends that are atheists, who have friends that believe in evolution, they question you, hey, why don't you do a little bit of your own research? I'm not telling you to dedicate your entire life to solving evolution, all right? But I am saying, why not do some of a little bit of your own research? Because you may find some information that will strengthen your faith, as well as information that will help win others over to Jesus Christ. And so that's what Lucas challenged me to do in a better way. Amen.
Nice. Rev T, 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
Right. Pastor Joe
First
took 15 years.
I want you to take is you don't have to defend God.
Oh, that's good.
God is big enough to take care of himself. So when people challenge you and you don't have an answer, that doesn't disqualify God. It just means that you and I don't have an answer yet. And that's okay. The other thing is, go learn, right? The Bible tells us that to a man of understanding, knowledge comes easy. Don't be afraid of seeking it out, learning, going to school, studying science. We're not afraid of science, right? We know that God is the creator of all things. So press in, study, but you don't have to worry about not knowing the answers now. It's okay to say, you know what? I don't know, but I have an experience with Jesus, and that's what I know.
Beautiful.
And that's enough.
Mr. Stutter, 15 seconds.
Go listen to Pastor Richard's part one of the series. It has all the answers you need.
Oh, you're too funny.
Science, searching out what God created is a holy endeavor. It's not something to be afraid of. It's not something to be vilified. The more you can learn about what God created, the more we can learn about God himself. And so seek out truth because science might not ever prove that God exists, but it'll never prove that God doesn't exist.
Ooh, that's good. That's good. That's good.
I heard that from a wise man.
Get out of here. Let's give our guests a big round of applause. Go home, Google, see what vilify means. I love it. $5 words. And hey, let's go ahead and do this. If you guys have any questions that you need answered tonight, any Pastor Joe, Reverend.